part one. The hull rattles like it's trying to shake us loose. G-forces squeeze my ribs into my spine as Vulture One burns toward the derelict. Out the forward viewpoints, the alien vessel drifts above the rolling clouds of Jupiter. In a slow, dying roll, its shape is all wrong. A mass of black plates and glistening bone-like struts torn wide open where the orbital defense lattice struck it. They never saw it coming. One of our sleeper platforms, Cold Star 7, caught their heart bloom within minutes after they entered high heliocentric orbit. Fired three kinetics, two connected. The ship didn't explode. It bled. Now it's our turn. With the new fusion-powered drives, we drop from Saturn orbit to Jovian space in under 12 hours. No slingshot, no weeks in transit. Just throttle up and go.
2 minutes,
comes the pilot's voice. Major Dragomir sounds calm, but I see the tremor in her left hand clamps to the yoke. Our dropship is one of 50 in the swarm, sleek, angular, built to punch through hull plating and deploy bodies before the enemy knows we're inside. I glance around the cabin. My squad, Spectre, Echo, Romeo, sits in silence, armored, weapons locked, helmets on. I run a quick check on my suit seals, chest, arms, legs, neck, green across the board. Across from me, Reyes circles his suit, sealed. The rookie, Cass, slaps a fresh power cell into her plasma carbine. One by one, visitors drop.
Swear to God, if this thing's full of Spectre Omnipi again, I'm filing a complaint.
Reyes mutters, trying for humor.
You can file it with your next of kin.
Bakari replies flatly. From the back, Cass shifts in her harness.
Doesn't feel right. Ship this big, this quiet.
Stay focused.
I say.
You want to make it home, you keep your mind in the now.
We've encountered extraterrestrials before. Over a dozen ships and anomalies in 20 years. Some fired on us, some broadcast messages of peace. It didn't matter either way. They all ended up the same. Dead. First contact never ends well for the ones who don't strike first. History is littered with warnings. The islanders who welcomed the explorers. The tribes that traded with conquistadors. The open hands that were met with closed fists. Maybe if the Wampanoag had known what was coming, they'd have buried every pilgrim at Plymouth. No feasts, no treaties, just blood in the snow. We're not here to repeat their mistakes. If they enter our solar system, we erase them. We never make contact, never negotiate, never show mercy. Our unofficial motto is, shoot first, dissect later. A few bleeding hearts out there might call what we do immoral. But this isn't about right or wrong. This is about ensuring the survival of the human race. I do it for my daughter, whom I may never see again, whose birthdays come and go while I'm in the void. I even do it for my estranged wife, who says I've become someone unrecognizable, someone less human every time I come back from a cleanup operation. She's not wrong, but she sleeps peacefully in the quiet suburbs of Sioux Falls because of us. We're the reason there are no monsters under the bed. We drag them out back and shoot them before they can bite us. The closer we get, the worse the wreck looks. Part of its hull is still glowing, some kind of self-healing alloy melting into slang.
Sir,
Dragomir says, eyes flickering to her console.
We're getting a signal. It's coming from the derelict.
I grit my teeth.
Translate? No linguistic markers. It's pure pattern. Repeating waveform, modulated across gamma and microwave bands.
She doesn't look up.
They might be hailing us. Might be bait.
I said bitterly.
Locate the source.
Dragomir's fingers dance across the console.
Got it.
She says.
Forward section, starboard side, 10 meters inside the breach. Looks like some kind of node or relay. Still active despite our jamming.
Shut them up.
I ordered. There's no hesitation. She punches in fire control. A pair of nose-mounted railguns swivel. Acquire the mark, and light up the breach with a quick triple tap. We hit comms first, every time. Cut the throat before they can scream and alert others to our presence. The other dropship follows suit, unleashing everything they've got. White-hot bursts streak across the void. The alien vessel jolts as its skin shreds under kinetic impact. Parts of it buckle like wet cardboard under sledgehammers. Return fire trickles out, thin beams, flickering plasma arcs. One beam hits Vulture 15 off our port side. The ship disintegrates into a bloom of shrapnel and mist. Another burst barely misses us.
Holy shit.
Cass exclaims.
Countermeasures out.
Dragomir yells. Flares blossom. Chaff clouds expand. Vulture One dives hard, nose dropping, then snaps into a vertical corkscrew that flattens my lungs and punches bile up my throat.
Looking for a breach point.
She grunts. Outside, the hull rotates beneath us. We're close enough now to see a ragged gash yawning open near the midline.
There, starboard ventral tear.
I bark.
Punch through it. Copy.
She slams the ship into a lateral burn, then angles nose first toward the breach. The rest of the swarm adapts immediately, arcing around, laying down suppressive fire. The alien defenses flicker and die under the sheer weight of our firepower.
Brace.
Dragomir shouts. And then we hit. The impact slams through the cabin like a hammer. Metal screams. Our harness holds, but barely. Lights flicker as Vulture One drills into the breach with hull-mounted clutters, twin thermal borers chewing through the alien plating like it's bone and cartilage instead of metal. I unbuckle and grab the overhead rail.
Weapons hot. Gas seals double-checked. We don't know what's waiting on the other side of that wall.
Across from me, Cass shifts.
Sir, atmospheric conditions.
Hostile. Assume corrosive mix. Minimal oxygen. You breathe suit air, or you don't breathe at all.
The cutter slows, almost through. Sparks shower past the view slit. To my right, my second-in-command, Lieutenant Farrow, leans in.
Pay attention to your corners. No straight lines. No predictable angles. We sweep in, secure a wedge, and fan out from there. Minimal chatter, unless it's threat intel or orders. Remember the number one priority.
I say.
Preserve what tech you can. Dead's fine. Intact is better.
We wear the skin of our fallen foes. We fly in the shadow of their designs. The drop ships, the suits, even our neural sync. They're all stitched together from alien tech savaged in blood and fire under the last two decades. Almost every technology edge we've got was ripped from an alien corpse and adapted to our anatomy. We learn fast. It's not pretty. It's not clean. But it is human ingenuity at its best. Dragomir's voice crackles through the comms, lower than usual.
Watch your six in there, Raiders.
I glance at her through the visor. A faint smirk touches her lips, gone in a blink.
Don't make me drag your corpse out, Colonel.
I nod once.
You better make it back too, Major. I don't like empty seats at the bar.
The cutter arms retract with a mechanical whine. We all freeze. 5 seconds of silence.
Stand by for the breach,
Dragomir says. Then, clunk. The inner hull gives. Gravity reasserts itself as Vulture One locks magnetically to the outer skin of the derelict. The boarding ramp lowers. The cutter's heat still radiates off the breach edges, making them glow a dull, dangerous orange. Beyond it, darkness. We're ghosts boarding a ghost ship. I whisper, barely audible through comms.
For all mankind.
My raiders echo back as one.
For all mankind.
We move fast, boots hit metal. The moment I cross the threshold, gravity shifts. My stomach drops, my legs buckle. For a second, it feels like I'm falling sideways. Then the suit's AI compensates. Stabilizers kick in with a pulse to my spine. Everyone else wobbles too. Bakari stumbles but catches himself on the bulkhead. Inside, the ship is wrecked. Tom cables hang like entrails. Panels ripped off. Fluids, black, thick, congealed, pool along the deck. The blast radius from the railgun barrage punched straight through several corridors. Fire marks spider along the walls. Something organic melted here. We move in pairs, clearing the corridor one segment at a time. Farrow takes point. Reyes covers rear. Cass and Bakari check vents and alcoves. I scan junctions and ceiling voids, every shadow a potential threat. We fire a couple of short bursts from our plasma carbines at anything that looks like a threat. Our mapping software glitches, throwing up errors. As we move deeper into the wreckage, the corridors get narrower, darker, more erratic, like the ship itself was in the middle of changing shape when we hit it. There's no standard geometry here. Some walls are soft to the touch, some feel brittle, almost calcified. Then, we find a chamber that's been blasted open. Our barrage tore through what might have once been a cargo bay. It's hard to tell. The far wall is gone, peeled outward into space like foil. Bits of debris float in slow arcs to the room, charred fragments of what might have been machinery, scraps of plating still glowing from kinetic heat, trails of congealed fluid drifting like underwater ink. And corpses. Three of them, mangled. One's been torn clean in half, its torso still twitching in low gravity. Another is crushed beneath a piece of bulkhead, The third corpse is intact, mostly. It floats near the far wall, limbs drifting, tethered by a strand of filament trailing from its chest. I drift closer. It has two arms, two legs, a head in the right place, but the proportions are wrong. Too long, too lean. Joints where there shouldn't be. Skin like polished obsidian, almost reflective, with faint bioluminescent patterns pulsing just beneath the surface. Its face is the worst part. Not monstrous, not terrifying, familiar. Eyes forward-facing, nose, mouth, ears recessed along the sides of the skull, but everything's stretched, sharper, like someone took a human frame and rebuilt it using different rules, different materials, different gravity. It didn't die from the impact. There's frost along its cheek, crystals on its eyelids, the kind you get when the body bleeds heat into vacuum and doesn't fight back. Bakari's voice crackles in my ear.
Sir, how is that even possible? It looks like us, almost human.
I've seen horrors, interdimensional anomalies that screamed entropy and broke reality just by existing, but this, it shakes me. Evolution doesn't converge like this, not across light years and alien stars. Convergent evolution might give you eyes, limbs, maybe even digits, but this kind of parallelism, this mirroring, nearly impossible. I can sense the unease, the question hanging in the air like a bad signal. I don't give it room to grow.
It doesn't matter.
I counter.
They're not us.
That hasn't changed the mission. No one responds. We advance past the chamber, weapons raised. Then, movement. A flicker down the corridor, just beyond the next junction. Multiple contacts. Fast. My squad snaps into formation.
Movement.
I bark.
Forward corridor.
We hold our collective breaths. A beat. Then a voice echoes over the shared comm channel.
Echo Romero, this is Sierra November. Hold fire. Friendly. Repeat. Friendly.
I exhale.
Copy. Identify.
A trio of figures round the corner, armors slick with void frost, shoulder beacons blinking green. Captain Slater leads them, grizzled, scar down one cheek plate. Her team's smaller than it should be, blood on one of their visors. I nod.
Slater, what's your status? Short one, no resistance near the spying corridor. Biological, fast, not standard response behavior.
I gesture toward the chamber behind us.
We found bodies, mostly shredded.
She grunts. Same up top, but we found something. She taps on the drone feed and pushes the file to my HUD.
Scout drone went deep before signal cut.
Slander says.
Picked something up in the interior mass. Looked like a control cluster.
I zoom the image. Grainy scan, flickering telemetry. Amid the wreckage, a spherical structure of interlocking plates surrounded by organ-like conduits. I turn to Pharaoh.
New objective. Secondary team pushes toward the last ping.
He nods.
Split stack. Leapfrog. We'll take left.
We find the first chamber, almost by accident. Slater's team sweeps a hatch, forces it open, and light pours across a cavernous space. Racks stretch into the distance, rows upon rows of pods stacked floor to ceiling, each one the size of a small vehicle. Transparent panels, most of them cracked or fogged, show what's inside. Mummified husks, collapsed skeletons, curled remains. We move between them, boots crunching on brittle fragments scattered across the deck. The scale hits me harder than any firefight. Hundreds, if not thousands, entire families entombed here. Cass kneels by one of the pods, wipes away a film of dust and corrosion. She whispers,
Jesus Christ, they brought their children.
I move closer to the pod. Inside, what appears to be a child drifts weightlessly, small hands curled against its chest. Its skin is the same glassy black as the adult, veined with faint glowing lines that pulse in rhythm with a slow, steady heartbeat. Rounded jaw, high cheekbones, eyes that flutter under sealed lids like it's dreaming. Nestled between its glassy fingers is a small, worn object, something soft, vaguely round. It looks like a stuffed animal, but nothing I recognize. I think of my daughter. She would be about this age now. 7, almost 8, her laugh echoing in the kitchen, a little teddy bear she wouldn't sleep without. I push the image down before it can take hold, but it claws at the back of my skull. Then, the thought hits me. Not slow, not creeping, but like a railgun slug to the gut. This isn't a scouting vessel. It's not even a warship. It's something far, far worse. It's a colony ship.
It's an Ark,
I mutter.
And they were headed to Earth. This feels wrong,
Cass says. Quiet, not defiant, just honest. I don't answer at first. Instead, I turn, check the corridor. Cass speaks again.
Sir, they didn't fire first. Maybe we...
No.
I snap.
Don't you dare finish that thought.
She flinches. I step closer.
They're settlers. Settlers mean colonies. Colonies mean footholds. Disease vectors, ecosystem collapse, cultural contamination, species displacement. If one Ark makes it, others will follow. This is replacement. Extinction.
She lowers her eyes.
Never hesitate.
I chide her.
Always pull the trigger. Do you understand me, soldier?
A pause, then almost inaudible.
Yes, sir.
We push deeper into the ship. Static creeps into comms. Something's watching us. Shapes in peripheral vision don't match when you double back. Reyes raises a fist. The squad freezes.
Contact.
He whispers.
Starboard side. Movement in the walls.
Before we can process what he said, panels fold back. Vents burst outward. Shapes pour through. Fluid. Fast. Wrong. About a dozen of them. Joints bending in impossible directions. Skin shifting between obsidian and reflective silver. Weapons grown into their arms, and all of them aimed at us. Fire breaks out. Plasma bolts crack against the corridor walls. One of the creatures lunges. It's aimed directly at Cass. She hesitates. Only a split second, barely the time it takes to blink, but it's enough. The creature is almost on her when Bakari moves.
Get out of the way!
He shouts, hurling himself sideways. He slams into Cass, knocking her out of the creature's arc. Plasma bursts sizzle past her shoulder, searing the bulkhead. Bakari brings his rifle up too slowly. The alien crashes into him. They tumble backward in a blur of obsidian and armor. His plasma rifle clatters across the deck. Bakari's scream crackles through the comms as the thing's limb hooks around his torso, locking him in place. The thing has what looks like a blaster growing straight out of its forearm, pointed at Bakari's head. We freeze, weapons trained.
Let him go!
A shout. For a heartbeat, nobody fires. Dozens of them. Dozens of us. Both sides staring down weapons we barely understand. Ours stolen and hybridized. Theirs alive and grown. The alien doesn't flinch. Its skin ripples, patterns glowing brighter. Then it lets out a burst of sound. Harsh, layered, no language I recognize. Still, the intent cuts through. It gestures with its free hand toward the row of parts, then back at Bakari. Reyes curses under his breath.
Shit. They want the kids for Bakari.
I tighten my grip on the rifle, heart hammering, but voice steady.
Not fucking happening.
The creature hisses, sound rattling the walls. Its weapon presses harder against Bakari's visor. He's breathing fast, panicked. His voice cracks in my comms.
Sir, don't trade me for them.
Pinned in the alien's grip, Bakari jerks his head forward and smashes his helmet into the creature's faceplate. The impact shatters his own visor, spraying shards into his cheek. Suit alarms scream, air hisses out. Blood sprays inside his cracked visor as he bucks into the alien's grip, twisting with everything he has. The creature recoils slightly, thrown off by the unexpected resistance. That's all Bakari needs. He grabs the weapon fused to its arm, both hands wrapped around the stalk of living alloy, and shoves hard. The weapon jerks sideways toward the others. A pulse of white plasma tears into the nearest alien. It folds in on itself mid-lunge and hits the deck with a wet thud. Akari turns with the alien still locked in his arms, still firing. A second later, a spike of plasma punches through the alien's body and through him. The blast hits him square in the chest. His torso jerks. The alien drops limp in his grip, but Bakari stays upright for half a second more, just long enough to squeeze off one final burst into the shadows, dropping another target. Then he crumples.
Move!
I shout into the comm. The chamber erupts in chaos. We open fire, filling the space with shrieks of plasma and the screech of vaporizing metal. The hostiles are faster than anything we've trained for, moving with an uncanny, liquid agility. They twist through fire lanes, rebounding off walls, slipping between bursts. Their armor shifts with them, plates forming and vanishing in sync with their movements. Pharaoh lobs a thermite charge across the deck. It sticks to a bulkhead and detonates, engulfing two hostiles in white-hot flame. They scream and thrash before collapsing. Another one lands right on top of me. I switch to my sidearm, a compact plasma cutter. I jam the cutter into a creature's side and fire point blank. White plasma punches clean through its torso. The alien collapses under me. I kick free, roll to my feet, and snap off two quick shots downrange. One hostile jerks backward, its head vanishing in a burst of light. Another ducks, but Reyes tracks it and drops it clean.
Stack left, I shout. Cass, stay down. Reyes, cover fire. Pharaoh, breach right. Find a flank.
We move fast. Pharaoh leads the breach right, ducking under a crumpled beam and firing as he goes. I shift left with Reyes and Slater, suppressing anything that moves. The hostiles respond with bursts of plasma and whip-like limbs that lash from cover. One catches Reyes across the leg. He goes down hard. I grab him, hauling him behind a shattered pod.
Two left.
I shout.
Push.
Pharaoh's team swings around, clearing a stack of pods. One of the hostiles sees the flank coming. It turns, bleeding, one arm limp, leans around cover, and fires a single shot at Pharaoh, hitting the side of his head. He jerks forward, crashes into a pod, and goes still. Reinforcements arrive fast. From the left corridor, a new squad of raiders bursts in, bulky, power-armored units moving with mechanical precision. Shoulder-mounted repeaters sweep the room, firing in tight, controlled bursts. Plasma flashes fill the chamber. The few remaining hostiles scramble back under the weight of suppressive fire. They vanish into the walls, literally. Hidden panels slide open, revealing narrow crawl spaces, ducts, and biotunnels lined with pulsing membrane. One after another, they melt into the dark.
Where the hell did they go?
Slater mutters, sweeping the corridor. Her words barely register. My ears are ringing from the last blast. I step over the twitching remains of the last hostile and scan the breach point. Nothing but a smooth, seamless wall now.
Regroup for now.
I bark.
Check your sectors. Tend the wounded.
I check my heart. Two KIA confirmed. One wounded, critical. Four injured, but stable. Bakari's vitals have flatlined. I try not to look at the slumped form near the pods. Cass, though, doesn't move from where Bakari fell. She's on her knees beside his body, trembling hands pressed against the hole in his chest plate like she can still stop the bleeding. Her cracked visor shows the damage, splintered glass, flecked with blood, breath frozen mid-escape. Her eyes are open. She presses down harder anyway.
Come on, come on, don't you quit on me.
But the suit alarms are flatlined. His vitals have been gone for over a minute. I lay a hand on her shoulder, but Cass jerks away, her voice breaking over the comms.
This is my fault. I hesitated. I should have moved faster. He wouldn't have...
Her words spiral into static sobs. Reyes moves over to one of the bodies, an alien half-clumped near a breached pod. He kneels, scanning, then freezes.
Colonel,
he says slowly.
This one's still breathing.
Everyone snaps to alert. He flips the body over with caution. The alien is smaller than the others, slighter build. Its armor is fractured, glowing faintly along the seams. It jerks once, then its eyes snap open, bright and wide. Before Reyes can react, the alien lashes out, It snatches a grenade from his harness and rolls backward, landing in a crouch. The pin stays intact, more by luck than intention, but it holds the grenade up, trembling slightly. It doesn't understand what it's holding, but it knows it's dangerous.
Back off!
I bark. Weapons go up across the room, but no one fires. The alien hisses something. Words we don't understand. Its voice is high, strained, full of rage and panic. I lower my weapon, slowly. My hands rise in a gesture meant to slow things down. I stop, palm open. It watches me. Its movements are erratic, pained. One eye half closed, arm trembling. I take a small step forward.
We don't want to kill you,
I say.
Just stop.
It doesn't understand my words, but it sees the blood. It's people's blood, splattered across my chest plate, across my gloves, dripping from my armor's joints. It shouts again, gesturing the grenade toward us like a warning. The other hand clutches its ribs, black ichor seeping between fingers. Reyes moves, fast. One shot, clean. The plasma bolt punches through the alien's forearm just below the elbow. The limb jerks, spasms. The grenade slips from its grip. I lunge, catch the grenade mid-drop, securing the pin in place. The alien screams, raw, high-pitched, then collapses, clutching its arm. Blood leaks between its fingers.
Secure it,
I shout. Reyes slams the alien onto its back while Cass wrenches its good arm behind its back. The downed alien snarls through clenched teeth, then chokes as a boot comes down on its chest.
Easy.
I bark, but they don't hear me. Or maybe they do, and just ignore it. The other raiders pile on. Boots slam into its ribs. Hard. There's a crunch.
Enough.
I say louder, stepping in. They keep going. Reyes pulls a collapsible cattle prod from his hip. It hums to life. I shove him.
I said enough, Sergeant.
He staggers back, blinking behind his visor. I turn to the other.
Restrain it. No more hits.
But, sir...
I get in his face.
You want to see the inside of a brig when we get back? Keep going.
He hesitates, then steps back. The alien coughs, black fluid spilling from the corner of its mouth. It trembles like a kicked dog trying to stand again. I drop to one knee next to it. It flinches away, but has nowhere to go. I key open my med kit and pull out a coagulant injector. Not meant for this physiology, but it might buy it time. I lean in and press the nozzle against what looks like an arterial wound. The hiss of the injector fills the space between us. The fluid disperses. The bleeding slows. I scan its vitals. Incomplete data. Barely readable.
Stay with me,
I mutter. Slater kneels down and helps me adjust the seal of its arm, wrap a compression band around the fractured limb, splint the joint. It doesn't make a difference, she mutters behind me.
You know what they're gonna do to it. I know. They'll string it up the second we bring it back, same as the others. I know.
The alien stares at me, dazed.
You're going to be okay.
I say softly, knowing it's a lie.
We'll take care of you.
The creature watches me carefully, and when it thinks I'm not looking, it turns its head slightly toward a narrow corridor half hidden behind a collapsed bulkhead and torn cabling. Its pupils, if that's what they are, dilate. When it realizes I've noticed, it jerks its gaze away, lids squeezing shut. A tell. I sweep the corridor, burnt-out junctions, twisted passageways, ruptured walls half-sealed by some kind of regenerative resin. Then, I spot it. A crack between two bulkheads, just wide enough for a man to squeeze through sideways. I shine my helmet light into the gap, and the beam vanishes into a sloping, irregular tunnel. Too tight. Too unstable. I signal Reyes.
Deploy the drone.
He unhooks the compact recon unit from his thigh rig, a palm-sized tri-winged model with stealth coatings and adaptive optics. Reyes sinks it to the squad net and gives it a gentle toss. The drone stabilizes midair, then slips into the crack. We get the feed on our HUDs, grainy at first, then sharpening as the drone's onboard filters kick in. It pushes deeper through the tunnel, ducking past exposed wiring, skimming over walls, pulsing faintly with bioelectric patterns. The tunnel narrows, then widens into a pocket chamber. The bridge. Or the alien equivalent of it. A handful of surviving hostiles occupy the space. They move between consoles, tend to the wounded, communicate in bursts of light and sound. Some are armed. Others appear to interface directly with the ship's systems via tendrils that grow from their forearms into the core. They're clustered, tightly packed, focused inward.
They're dug in,
Slater says.
Drop Nox 12 on them.
I order.
Smoke them out.
Nox 12 is an agent scavenged from our first extraterrestrial encounter. We learned the hard way what the stuff does when a containment failure liquefied half a research outpost in under 15 minutes. The stuff breaks down anything organic. Flesh, bone, membrane, leaves metal, plastic, and composites untouched. Perfect for this.
Nox armed,
Reyes says.
Release it,
I say. Click. The canister drops. At first, nothing. Then the shell splits in midair. A thin mist sprays out, almost invisible, barely denser than air. It drifts downward in slow, feather-light spirals. Then, panic. The first signs are subtle, a shiver through one of the creature's limbs, a pause mid-step. Then, sudden chaos. One lets out a shriek that overloads the drone's audio sensors. Others reel backward, clawing at their own bodies as the mist begins to eat through flesh like acid through paper. Skin blisters, limbs buckle and fold inward, structure collapsing as tendons snap. One tries to tear the interface cables from its arms, screaming light from every pore. Another claws at the walls, attempting to escape. Then, static. The feed cuts. A long moment passes. Then a sound, faint at first, almost like wind, but sharper, wet, screams. They come from the walls, above, below, somewhere behind us. A shriek, high and keening, cuts through the bulkhead beside us. The pounding, scrabbling claws, frantic movements against metal. One wall bulges, then splits open. Two hostiles burst out of a hidden vent, flesh melting in long strings, exposing muscle and blackened bone. One of them is half-liquefied, dragging a useless limb behind it. The other's face is barely intact, eye sockets dripping, mouth locked in a soundless howl. I raise my weapon and put the first one down with a double tap to the head. The second lunges, wheezing, trailing mist as it goes. Reyes, still bleeding, catches it midair with a plasma bolt to the chest. It drops, twitching, smoke rising from the gaping wound. Another vent rattles. A third creature stumbles out, face burned away entirely. It claws at its own chest, trying to pull something free. One of the neural tendrils used to sync with their systems. I step forward, level my rifle, and end it cleanly. Then, stillness. Just the sound of dripping fluids and our own ragged breathing. The alien we captured stirs. It has gone quiet, slumped against the wall, cuffed and breathing shallow. But now, as the screams fade and silence reclaims the corridor, it lifts its head. It sees them. The bodies. Its people. Melted. Torn. Broken. Still smoldering in pieces near the breached vent. A sound escapes its throat. A raw wail. Its whole frame trembles, shoulders shake. It curls in on itself. We hear it. The heartbreak. The loss.
Colonel.
Dragomir's voice snaps over the comms.
Scans are picking something up. Spike in movement. Bridge level. It's bad.
I straighten.
Define bad. Thermal surge. Bioelectric output off the charts. No pattern I can isolate. Might be a final defense protocol or a failsafe.
Translation. Something's about to go very wrong. I don't waste time.
Copy. We're moving.
Part 2. We push through the melted vent, navigating the narrow tunnel. The air is thick, chemical tang and scorched flesh. Bioluminescent streaks pulse along the walls, erratic and dim. Whatever system they had is breaking down. Reyes checks the signal.
10 meters of the bridge hatch. Local atoms. Volatile. Minimum oxygen. Stay sealed.
We step into hell. Bodies everywhere. Piles of what used to be crew. Some are fused to walls. Others lie in crumpled heaps near half-destroyed interfaces. The stink hits first, charred protein and chemical rot, like a slaughterhouse fire. Cass gags once inside her helmet, but keeps pace. The Nox 12 mist hangs low, curling around my boots, still eating through the few twitching remains that haven't gone still yet. Our rifles sweep left, right, up. The light from our shoulder lamps cuts across scorched panels and twitching corpses. Consoles flicker weakly. Most of the alien crew are dead. Most. The moment I realize it, it's already too late. A hiss of movement, sharp, wet. A figure emerges from behind the shattered console, one of them still alive, barely. Its armor is fused into its flesh, one arm a blackened slump, the other clutching a weapon grown from twisted bone and alloy. Half its face is missing. What's left drips.
Contact!
A shout. The thing fires, a single, shrieking pulse of violent energy. The shot punches clean through Reyes' chestplate. He jerks once, then crumples, dead, before he hits the deck. I dive, slam into Slater just as a second bolt sears through the air. The bolt clips my left flank, right above the hip. The suit alarms scream in my ear.
Warning, breach detected. Toxic exposure imminent.
The heat bites instantly. Nox mist seeps in through the tear, liquid agony flooding the gap between armor and skin. It hits like acid and fire, nerves lighting up all at once. I drop hard behind a console, teeth clenched so tight I hear one crack. I can't scream. I can't move. Another pulse streaks overhead, scorching the wall behind me. Without hesitation, Cass answers with a full burst. Three plasma bolts slam into the hostile's chest. The first staggers it. The second tears open its side. The third ends it. A smoking crater where its head used to be. I feel the Nox chewing through tissue, skin sloughing, nerves exposed, pain sharper than any blade. My vision blurs. Then my suit fights back.
Emergency protocol engaged. Internal sealants deployed.
A cold rush floods the breach, liquid polymer hardening instantly over the wound. Microfoam sprays across the exposed flesh, then the life support kicks a cocktail into my bloodstream. Painkillers, antitoxins, stims. My heart stutters, then spikes. I suck in a breath that's more reflexive than needed, helmet filters hissing. Still hurts. Every twitch lights up nerves like downed power lines, but I can move. Barely. Slater is at my side before I can push myself up.
Sir, don't move. You're hit. Bad. I'm fine.
I growl through gritted teeth, waving her off. I stagger upright, leg barely holding, and limp toward the central console the hostiles were trying to protect. The console flickers, alien symbols pulsing across its curved surface. The interface isn't built for human eyes, but I recognize patterns, geometry, sequencing, iconography. Beneath the unfamiliar language, the structure is unmistakable. A launch diagram. A central image dominates. A flashing representation of the ship. A node detaches from its underside, marked in pulsing orange. Trajectory lines arc outward from the ship, curving toward a planet unmistakably Earth. An escape pod, already launched, already en route. I stab the squad comm.
Vulture Swarm, this is Echo, Romeo, Actual. Emergency priority. Enemy escape pod is launched. Repeat, enemy escape pod is active and en route to Earth.
A moment of silence. Then Dragomir's voice cuts in.
Copy, Echo Romeo. Confirmed on multiple scopes. Plotting intercept now. Good. Intercept it. Destroy it. I don't care what it takes. Do not let that thing reach Earth. Roger that. Vultures 1 through 16 peeling off for pursuit. We'll get it.
The escape pod is fast, sleek, angular, built for survivability. A fraction of the alien orc's size, but armed. Shields ripple across its surface, reacting to every burst fired in its direction. I watched the feed split across the HUD. One quadrant shows Vultures 9, 11, and 13 fanning out ahead of the pod, laying down suppressive fire. Another tracks the pod's trajectory. It's smart. It's already threading its path through debris fields to throw off target locks.
Come on,
I mutter, eyes fixed. Vulture 9 gets the first clean shot. A pair of railgun slugs streak toward the pod. The first misses, the second impacts, then deflects. The shield holds. not intact, but still functional.
Shields absorbing kinetics.
Dragonlear's voice confirms.
They're layered. Can't punch through without saturating.
Vulture 13 swings wide to flank, takes a pulse from the pod's rear-mounted weapon. The feed jitters as the ship spirals, then vanishes in a flash. No explosion. Just gone. The pod fires again, targeting the lead intercept. Vulture 11 banks hard, countermeasures spinning out behind it. Two of them pop. One detonates early. The other never gets the chance. The pod's weapon fires again, a tight burst of violet plasma that rips through 11's midsection like paper. It tumbles, clips a chunk of alien hull still drifting from the arc, and explodes. Vulture 1 is right behind the lead intercept now, trying to maneuver into a kill position. Railguns reload. Missile tubes primed.
Locking tone.
Dragomir mutters.
Firing.
Twin rail slugs scream across space. The first slams into the escape pod's flank. The second hits square, but the shield flares blue and holds.
Hit confirmed. No penetration.
Dragomir mutters, adjusting for another shot.
Reacquiring.
The pod's rear cannons glow.
Break, break, break!
I shout, but it's too late. A violent beam punches straight through Vulture One's forward port nacelle. The railguns spark and die.
Colonel, I've lost weapons. Navarre's toast.
I shout through the comms.
Then pull out. We've got two other birds in pursuit.
Negative, sir.
She cuts in.
They won't get it in time.
I can hear it in her voice. She's already decided.
I'm not letting that thing reach Earth.
No, Elena, listen to me. You don't have to do this. We'll find another way. Just break off. That's an order.
She doesn't answer at first. Then, quiet.
Tony, I want you to tell Alexei I didn't hesitate. Tell my kids their mom loves them. And did something that mattered.
No, goddammit, don't!
But she's already gone. The feed shows Vulture 1 pivoting. The engines spike. Full burn. The dropship dives after the pod, faster than safety protocols allow. Just one path. One kill vector. The alien pod reacts, pitching up, trying to flee, but it's not fast enough. Vulture 1 slams into it at full velocity. The impact is instant. Violent. The feed whites out. Static. Then, the explosion hits. Light flaring in all directions. Debris scattering like shrapnel through the black. Fragments of the pod and Vulture 1 spiral outward in a growing cloud of twisted alloy and melted plating. Dragomir's signal goes dead. Nothing left. Silence on the comms. Slater speaks.
Escape pod destroyed. Confirmed.
I didn't respond. There's nothing to say. I spent weeks in isolation on forward base Armstrong, on the sea of tranquility on the moon. No visitors, no unfiltered comms. Just med techs, debrief officers, and psychologists running their loops. I'm classified Tier 1 exposure, meaning high risk for both contamination and intelligence compromise. I've been poked, scanned, drained, and drugged more times than I can count. I sleep in 2-hour chunks, wake up soaked in sweat. The screams come back sometimes. Bakari's last breaths, the wail from that thing we left bleeding in the dark. Dragomir's voice cutting off mid-burn. I don't remember most of the pain, just the smell. Nox gets in your head like that. They patched me up, rebuilt some of the tissue that sloughed off from the hip wound. The grafts are raw, pink, synthetic, still itch like hell. But I can walk again, slowly, with crutches I pretend not to need. At least they gave me a room with a window. The glass curves over my bed in a wide arc, and through it, Earth hangs in space like it always does, bright, blue, impossibly whole. From this distance, you never know what nearly happened. No trace of the Ark. No debris from the dogfight. No hint of the alien scream that still echoes in my skull when I try to sleep. Somewhere down there, my daughter's back in school. She's probably thinking about me. Probably counting the days to when I'm home. I stare at the planet long enough each night to pretend I'm already there. The knock comes without warning. The door hisses open. I glance up from the tablet I haven't really been reading. A tall figure in a clean gray uniform with the three stars of a general steps inside.
Tony, he says.
Jay, I mutter. He enters without a word, just a sharp nod. We go way back, two tours on Europa together. He pulled me out of a decompression event in 23. I dragged him out of a firestorm on Triton. No need for salutes between us.
You look like shit.
You should see the other guy. He snorts, walks in, and drags the chair next to the bed.
Good news. You're being discharged, he says, finally. Another day or two, then you're free to go.
Quarantine's clear?
Cleared yesterday. No signs of infection.
He reached into his jacket, pulls something out. A small velvet box. Flips it open and holds it out.
I thought I'd give this to you personally, he says.
It's a purple heart. The real thing. I take the medal in my hand. It's heavier than I expect. I read the little citation card. Awarded to Colonel Anthony Tatanka Running Hawk for wounds sustained in combat during Operation Blacklight. For extraordinary bravery in defense of humanity. Park watches me turn the medal over in my hand, then says quietly,
Dragomir, I put her in for the Medal of Honor.
For a long moment, I can't speak. The room feels too small, the earth outside too far.
The medals, citations, they don't make the screams go quiet, I mutter,
thumb brushing over the etched surface of my medal. Park doesn't flinch.
I know, but it wasn't for nothing.
Then I ask, quiet but direct,
what have you learned about them?
Park's jaw tightens. He leans back, eyes flicking toward the window.
That's classified. I shoot him a look.
Don't give me that bullshit, Park. Not after what we went through. You owe me the truth.
He doesn't answer right away. Then he sighs, rests his elbows on his knees, and nods once.
Up for a walk?
He asks. I don't even ask where to. I've had enough of laying still. We go to a place called Containment Observation Suite, but it's really just a glass box. Sterile, bright, nothing but white walls, stainless steel restraints, and a slab there generous enough to call a bed. The alien we captured is still strapped down, same as yesterday, same as every day since they pulled it out of the Ark. Scientists in full hazmat suits circle it like it's a curiosity, not a prisoner. Instruments hum, scanners whine. One of them jabs a probe into the exposed tissue along its ribcage. It doesn't cry out, doesn't even flinch. I watch from the other side of a reinforced window from an observation deck. The glass is triple reinforced polymer. You could shoot it with a blaster all day, and it wouldn't crack. It's just lying there. It's breathing, shallow, labored. The bioluminescence in its skin, those strange, flowing patterns, flicker now like a dying battery. It looks like a wounded gazelle dropped in the middle of a lion den.
Apparently, Jay says, it's a female.
I glanced at him. They're sure. He nods.
As sure as they can be, anyway.
I glanced at him. Does she have a name?
No, just a designation. Specimen Kilo Tango 17.
His voice is flat.
Lab's been calling her Katie for short.
I nod toward the glass. What do the genetic tests say?
Genome matches humans 98.7. Might go higher depending on how they classify some of the junk sequences.
That stops me. I turn fully toward him. You're serious?
Dead. genetics team has triple-checked it. Makes no damn sense. I blink. She's human. He shrugged. Close enough.
That's not convergent evolution.
No, he says. It's not.
I stare at him. What the hell does that mean?
We don't know yet.
I exhale through my nose. What do you think?
My wild theory. Maybe something made us. Made them. Put life on separate worlds, seeding it with the same blueprint. Maybe to see what would grow. Your guess is as good as mine.
Shit, man. They were human, I say. 98.7. That's us with a different coat of paint. He shrugs.
I wouldn't go that far. Mice share over 90% of our genome, too. Doesn't mean I'd invite them to my family reunion.
Yeah, but they weren't mice, Jay.
I argue.
We could have talked to them. Tried, at least. We never even gave them the chance.
The general exhales slowly. Then he puts a hand on my shoulder and says, quiet but firm,
"You made the right call, Tony. I need you to remember that."
I shake my head. We killed settlers, Jay. Families. Kids. We dropped Nox on their command center like it was a bug nest.
He leans on the observation deck railing, arms crossed.
And if we hadn't hit them first, their children would have replaced ours, he snaps. You remember 20 years ago,
he continues,
when we made first contact. We tried talking, broadcasting peace, warm signals, unarmed drones, open arms. We were both on Daedalus Station. Remember what the Nox did to Deck 5? There wasn't enough left to those people to scrape into a report.
I remember, I said quietly.
We lost 4 stations, 6 colony outposts, tens of thousands of people before we could stop the infestation. Because we gave them the benefit of the doubt.
You want a better world for your daughter? Then you do what it takes to make sure she has one left, even if it breaks you.
That lands hard. I don't answer. He softens, just slightly.
You know, it's a good thing they weren't 100% human.
I raise an eyebrow. Why's that?
'Cause could you imagine fighting something as awful as we are?
He chuckles. I don't laugh. As we talk, 2 techs in full med rigs wheel in a surgical trolley, clamps, injectors, scalpels, and something that looks like a bone saw. The 3rd follows with a mobile rack of syringes, most of them color-coded for biotoxin testing.
You're going to dissect her?
Park doesn't look surprised by the question.
No, he says. Not yet. She's far more valuable alive than dead.
I glance over.
You want to interrogate her?
He nods.
That's part of it. We need to understand what her species is, where they're from, how many more ships like that Ark are out there, what kind of threat we're facing.
Any luck? I ask.
We're trying,
Park says.
But so far, her language is like nothing we've ever seen. No structure. No repeatable syntax, not even a baseline we can map to human speech. It's noise to us.
Katie's eyes shifted, slowly, deliberately. She turns her head just enough to look past the lights and instruments, to the window, to me. It's not a flicker or a glance. It's steady, focused, intent. Park sees it too. His jaw tightens.
Don't read into it.
She's looking at me.
She's reacting to motion. She does that with everyone.
No, I think she's trying to say something. Let me talk to her.
Park turns to me, expression unreadable.
That's not a good idea.
I didn't ask if it was a good idea.
He let out a breath.
Tony.
I'm not going to do anything. Just talk. Give me 10 minutes. Silence hangs between us.
Suit up, he finally says. Level 3 bio seal. You do not get closer than 2 meters. You don't touch anything. You don't remove your helmet. If she so much as blinks funny, we end it. You have 5 minutes. Understood?
I nod. Understood. When I step into the lab, the change is immediate. The temperature drops. The hum of filtration fans grow louder. Lights dim to a soft, clinical white. The med techs and researchers freeze when they see me enter. One of them, a wiry man with a shaved head, immediately speaks up.
I'm sorry, General Park, but no clearance has been given for direct...
Stand down,
Park says from behind the glass.
Observation override in effect. Give the colonel 5 minutes for the specimen.
With a reluctant nod, the man steps back, muttering to the others to clear the zone. Katie lies on the restraint slab. Her chest rises, shallow, slow. Half her body is still wrapped in polymer dressings and medical interfaces. One eye is swollen shut. The other finds me instantly. She doesn't growl or scream. Instead, her palm is open. The same hands that held the grenade. Now, it's just there. Open. Reaching. I hesitate. Protocol screams in my ear. 2 meter, minimum. But something in that gaze, the steadiness, the sadness, pulls me forward. One step, two, three. I stop just shy of the table, raise my gloved hand, and press it gently against hers. Her fingers curl, and then contact. Tendrils erupt, not violently, not fast, but like fluid unraveling under pressure. They come from under her onyx skin. Thin, glowing with faint neural pulses. They slip between the seams in my glove like they were made for it. Like they knew exactly where to go. My heart blinks once, hard, then shatters into static. Pseudo-alarms chirp in my ear, then cut off. My visor fills with a dull, gray haze.
Neuralink. Unauthorized access.
I try to pull back, but my arm doesn't respond. My fingers stay locked in hers. A pulse moves up my wrist, along the implant cable, into my spine. It's not painful. It's just total override. Then, the lab vanishes. I'm standing in a world that isn't mine. Her people walk among alien structures, on an alien world. Families... Workers, soldiers, children running in circles with translucent kites that ride currents of glowing wind. The air tastes metallic and heavy, like a storm about to break. Then, the sky tears open. Not metaphorically, literally. Something descending. Not a fleet, not ships. A shape. Vast. Angular, like a god made of broken math. Each time I look at it, the details shift. Geometry that shouldn't exist, movement that defies gravity. It doesn't descend from space so much as bleed into the atmosphere, like reality is hemorrhaging. They fire at it, beams of pure light, living missiles that curve mid-flight, biological weapons I can't even begin to describe. All of it hits. None of it works. The thing doesn't even react. Then, it unfolds. Millions of limbs. Some mechanical, some organic, some worse. They stretch down from its body, pierce the city like spears. One tower vanishes into a beam of light, so bright it's just white noise. Another cracks apart, its occupants still inside. People scream. The vision jumps. A chamber deep underground. Elders, high caste, stand around a spherical structure pulsing like a heart. The Ark, it's not complete. They're sealing people inside. Priorities, scientists, geneticists, children, military last. Katie stands at the gate, holding a smaller child by the hand.
She doesn't want to leave, but they make her. She watches the sky die from inside the Ark, her planet reduced to ash and vapor. Her star dims, not naturally. It flickers, as if something has turned it off. She dreamed in fragments, thousands, maybe tens of thousands, in her pod, sleeping, preserved, waiting. My visor clears just long enough for words to burn across the HUD, jagged alien glyphs folding into something I can read.
Bone thief.
She addresses me. The letters pulse, smear, then sharpen again.
The last breath still hunts. Your world is next.
Reading those words makes something in me snap. I don't consciously reach back. I don't even know how. The neural link just reverses, like a circuit closing in the other direction. One moment, I'm drowning in her history. The next, I feel my own mind spilling forward. Images, patterns, memories I've never said aloud. She jerks when it hits. She sees Earth. Not the blue marble in the sky over my hospital bed, but a future one. I show her how far we'll go. Contingency plans with code names like Winter Light and Silent Horizon. We'll nuke our own cities if they're compromised. We'll drain oceans, deteriorate tectonic seams, poison the atmosphere. Artificial black holes, antimatter bombs. Then, I show her the contingency no one dares to say aloud. If Earth falls, we'll evacuate it. Entire armies burned in the red soil of Mars, their deaths buying minutes for evacuation. Millions sacrificed to save billions. We've already charted candidate worlds. 2 in Gliese, 1 in Tau Ceti, all suitable for human life. We'll take what we need. We'll find a new home, terraform foreign soil. We'll infect genomes of native species with designer prions that only bloom after weeks of incubation, ensuring it spreads to their young before anyone knows what's happening. We'll exterminate any resistance, seed the sky with satellites and spread like rot. And if the last breath follows us there, we'll fight it again. We'll burn that world too, salt it down to the rock if we must. We will never stop. Another message appears like a scar across my HUD, red on black.
Your species does not fight extinction. You are extinction incarnate.
The neural interface's AI finally triggers its failsaves.
Neuralink severed.
The HUD flashes, and with a violent jolt, I'm slammed back into my body like a crash survivor regaining consciousness midair. My knees buckle. I stumble backward, tearing my hand away from Katie's as the interface cables retract into her skin. My visor flickers back to life. Warnings scream in my ears. Hands grab me. Park's voice barks, sharp and distant.
Colonel, what the hell just happened in there?
I stagger back, chest heaving.
She linked with me.
I rasp.
You saw it. She showed me things. Her world, what destroyed it?
My hands tremble.
She's warning us. Something wiped her species out, and it's coming for us. Did you expose any classified systems, military protocols?
I stumble back, 2 medtechs hauling me toward the exit. The connection's gone, but the echo of what Katie showed me still burns behind my eyes. She thrashes against the restraints, veins blazing with frantic pulses of light. Her eyes lock on me with horror, and horror of us, because she understands now what we are. Park turns to the medtechs and snaps.
Get him out of here, now.
I'm halfway out the door when I hear him barking the order.
Sedate her, begin the procedure, now.
I turn, but they're already on her. The syringe sinks into the crook of her neck. Her glow dims. Movements weaken. They hold her down, clamp by clamp, until she's still.
Wait, Jay, don't do this.
The reinforced door hisses shut behind me with a heavy finality. Through the thick polymer, the last thing I hear is the hiss of a pressurized injector. Then, the soft mechanical whine of a surgical bone saw spinning to life.